Okay. Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Community of Grace. Let me open us up in prayer, and we'll get into the Word here. So, Father, we thank you for our time, Lord, our ability to be able to gather together, to come together, Lord, to worship you, to encounter you. Lord, we just invite your presence to come powerfully and just rest on us, Lord, and just land on us all throughout all aspects of the morning, the service, the worship afterward, all of it, Father, that your presence would just be strongly here and just resting on each one of us. Father, I pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to the things that you want us to see today. Just come have your way with us, God. And we thank you for being here. And we just give you the praise and the glory and the honor. And we just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're continuing today in our walk through Ephesians, and we're going to continue on into chapter 4 today. So last week we talked about the journey that we begin with Christ at the point of conversion. And the journey is one of maturity. And part of the maturity process does not just involve growing in our knowledge of Jesus, okay? And it doesn't just involve encountering him. You know, and encountering him is where we get that more intimate knowledge of him. It also involves him wanting us to give him the various aspects of our lives as well. And sometimes some things are just a matter of being willing to turn them over. You know, he may let you continue on in them as you have been, but other areas he may want to make changes and adjustments in them to varying degrees. And some areas he may change completely. And some things he may either do away with it altogether, or he may replace one area of us with something else from him. And sometimes when we hear talk like that, we can sometimes start to get a little nervous because we're afraid that he's going to come and mess with something that we like. We're afraid he's going to mess with something that we've gotten attached to. And we wonder, what's he going to do with that area? You know, I hope that I'm not going to lose all of this, or I'm not going to lose all of that, because I really kind of like some of those things. You know, and the thing that we need to remember is that he knows what he's doing. He's God. He knows what he's doing. And if he deems it necessary to work in those particular areas of our lives, then that's something that needs to happen for our good and for the good of other people. Because what God does with us will also impact other people. And he does this for the sake of our maturing and for the maturing of others. And this is part of what lordship is. Turning over the reins of our lives to him and letting him have control. And because we are in a love relationship with him, we either want to surrender those things over to him as he wants, or he's doing a work in us to bring us to the place of seeing that we need to surrender to him that which he wants from us or from with what is in us. And him doing a work in our hearts and minds to being willing to turn those things over to him. So sometimes he's working us to bring us to the place of surrender. You know, those things from the past, those hurts that we have, those wounds that we have, you know, or things from our lives right now. And he wants to grow us in our relationship with him, you know, to where we live out of a character that looks more and more like Jesus as we surrender to him and works in our lives and our hearts and our minds. And all of these things are necessary to grow in maturity. And the growth process is one that God, although he is the author and the initiator of this process, we control and we decide how far we want to go in that process. Even though he's God, he gives us control. In other words, we go as far as we want to, if we want to go at all. And he asks us, you know, he says, you know, as we're on this journey with him and we come across these different areas, he'll come to us and say, you know, Can I have that part of your life? Can I have my way with you here? You know, we always have an option to say yes or no to God. because God is love, and love does not control. And God does not take away our rights to choose. You know, that's part of what love is. Love will always give a choice. But what we choose to do or not to do will have results. So today I want to continue on from where we left off, and I want to start with verse 21 of Ephesians chapter 4, which says, "If indeed you have heard from him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, in that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth." So Paul says here, he says, you have heard Jesus' words. You have been taught his truths. And because we have indeed heard them and have been taught them, then we ought to lay down or leave the old self behind. And we talked about this last week. The old self is you before you became a Christian. You know, before you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And then Paul starts to describe the old self here. You know, that it follows the desires of lies. Things that say that they are okay. You know, things that will feel good and that they will do certain things for you that you will like in regards to your bodies and your minds and your desires and your wants. And it says here that these corrupt the person that we were before Christ came into our lives and took us down a road which is the way of the world. And Paul says that with Jesus coming into our life, that old life is not the life that we're living anymore. In fact, he says that we are to lay it down. We're to take it off, just like taking off a coat. Take it off and lay it down. Lay it down and do not pick it back up. And don't put it on anymore, because that's not who you are anymore. When Christ came into your life, he changed you. You're not that old person anymore. But sometimes we pick those old things up, but that's not who we are anymore. We're not that old person. And we're not to live like that old person, but instead you are to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And put on the new self, which is who you are when you came into that saving relationship with Jesus, which is to become like him. Jesus lives in your heart now. Your life should reflect the Jesus who lives inside of you. You're no longer caught up in the bad things of the world that run counter to Jesus and his ways. Rather, your life should reflect things that are righteous, which means to conform to God's standards of living. And holy, meaning that you are set apart from the world for God and his will for us and the other benefits and the behaviors that glorify the Lord. Our behaviors that demonstrate him to others through what we say and what we do. So then, in the following verses, Paul describes some of these behaviors that should not be a part of us anymore since we have put on the new self, you know, which is who we are now. And that's part of our identity now. So these old behaviors of the old self are as Ephesians chapter 4 goes into with verse 25. It says, "Therefore, lay aside falsehood. Speak truth, each one of you, with his neighbor, for we are members of one another." So this is this one and the ones following, these address areas of our speech and our behaviors. And it's putting aside the ways of the old person, but it's also listing some of the new behaviors of what the new person should be. So first we have falsehood. Okay? Falsehood is lying. It's being dishonest. Okay? We are to lay that behavior down. We're not to do it anymore, but instead we are to be honest with others because now you are a part of the body of Christ. So to be honest with the other, so it's to be honest with the other parts of the body, to be honest with the family. You know, lying to them is like one part of the body lying to another part of the body. But what this is also saying is not keeping things hidden. because that's why people lie, is to keep things hidden. Whether it be in deception or something else, but also there are other reasons why people lie and why people lie and hide things. Now, I'm not going to go into all the reasons, but I do want to mention one. Okay? One of them is shame. Okay? I hide something about myself that I am embarrassed about or ashamed of or feel guilty of. You know, something that causes me to feel badly about myself. And that's the message of shame. I'm no good because what I do or what I did is no good, and therefore I am no good. And that's the message of shame. And this is not to be the thoughts and the actions of a new person in Christ. Why? Because you have received what Jesus did for you. He died for you. I mean, you were valuable enough to the God of the universe for him to send his son to die for you. Therefore, there's really no reason to feel ashamed. You have been born again. You've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. You've been transformed. You're a new person with him living inside of you now. So there's no reason for shame. Boy, I thought I'd get an amen on that. Well, yeah, but don't be ashamed about that. No. Now, something else here. There are things that are instantly changed at salvation. And there are some things that we will have to choose what we're going to do with them. Are we going to pick up things that we're not supposed to be doing anymore? You know, are we going to let Jesus have those things in our lives? Or are we going to continue on in those things? You know, these things God will work on with you to be free of them, but the choice of that is up to you. If you don't let Jesus have them, they will be a source of struggle within you as the old behavior clashes with the new person that you are now. And the world is full of believers who have been in this type of a wrestling match with themselves for years. They keep these things hidden from others because of that shame and that embarrassment that they have. And as a result, they don't walk in the total freedom that they could have in Christ. Now, they do have some freedom because they do have Christ. But the thing about it is they could have more, but They feel like Christians that are not as good as others because of these secrets that they're holding on to and they're carrying around. And the thing about it is, this is them doing this to them. They could be freer anytime they choose to. But they choose to hang on to those things, and that creates this compromise. But the other thing about this one, as well as the others, is that I'm going to mention is the question of why. You know, why still do those things? You know, why not surrender at all to Jesus? You know, and here again, there are some things that are instantly changed at the point of conversion, you know. And there are some things sometimes that we have to make choices about in the process of sanctification. And this is a work that God does in us over who is going to be Lord in certain areas of our lives. This is part of the process. He's just not going to come and take it from you. There are things where he says, okay, he gives you the choice because it's like we need to work on the issue of who is going to be Lord. I'm not going to take it from you. You need to choose to make me Lord. And as we make those decisions or don't make those decisions, what happens is whatever we decide, it reveals things about us that God wants to expose and God wants to address. Because there's something deeper going on, and that's what he's going after. You know, it's not just the behavior, but it's why the behavior. You know, the whys reveal the matter of the heart that God wants to deal with, and sometimes the way to the heart is through the behaviors and the decisions that we make or don't make. Yeah, are you with me? Okay, I want to make sure. Okay, so let's go on here. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. Be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. Now notice with this one, he gives us permission to be angry. But it gives instructions on how to handle the anger. See, anger is an emotion, and God gave us our emotions. And as believers, we're going to get angry about things. You know, perhaps we witness an injustice, and we're moved to anger because of our desire for holiness and our desire for truthfulness and fairness and things to be brought to the right when we witness something that's wrong. And that's okay, you know, and that should be there. You know, and this is something that, you know, if you want to know a good example of it, just look at the world in the last couple of years. You know, us as believers, there are things that have been going on in our world we're absolutely enraged about. But the thing about it is, that's not the issue here. Okay? The issue here is, what are you going to do with what you feel? That's the issue here. You know, are you going to lash out at someone when you're angry? Or are you going to take matters into your own hands and do something that you shouldn't do when you get angry? You know, or are you going to express and handle your anger in a way that, or are you going to handle and express yourself, you know, with your anger in a way that reflects Jesus? Now notice too that it says, "Do not let the sun go down on your anger." In other words, don't hang on to that anger so that it doesn't develop into something that the devil can use. You know, anger is like perishable food. Okay? In that it's okay for a little while, but eventually it begins to spoil. And once it does, it's not good anymore. Okay? Because anger can develop. It can develop into bitterness. It can develop into resentment, into unforgiveness. And left unchecked, it can develop into hatred. And even lead to actions taken against another. Let's look at an example. Genesis chapter 4, verse 3. "So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. Abel, on his part, also brought of the firstlings of his flock and their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering, but for Cain and for his offering he had no regard. So Cain became very angry, and his countenance fell. Then the Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry, and why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it.' Cain told Abel, his brother, and it came about when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him." So here Cain's offering was not accepted by God, but his brother Abel's was. And the issue was the heart in which they gave these offerings. And because Cain gave his out of the wrong motive, which God saw, by the way, it exposed Cain's heart. And that was the intention of God not accepting his offering, was to work on his heart. To expose his heart so that he would see where he is in his heart and address that. And God comes to him and he talks with him. And he tells him, he says, you know, "Why are you sulking? Why are you angry? Why are you depressed, Cain? You know, if you do well, you'll feel better. You know, in other words, look at your heart and the spirit in which you did what you did. You know, change your attitude and your thinking here and give in the right way and in the right spirit, then I will accept it and you'll feel better." See, God offended Cain's mind to reveal his heart. So that what was not right in his heart and mind and attitude could be addressed. And God warns him, you know, if you don't address this issue, you're going to be opening the door to sin or the devil or both. Because to not address this will cause those feelings of anger to grow into something even more serious. See, God gives him a choice here. He tells him, he says, this is what you need to do. And he warns him. But the choice was his. Unfortunately, he doesn't heed God's warning and he kills his own brother. Which led to him doing the first thing that we talked about. He lied. When God confronted him, he lied to God. You know? "Where's your brother?" "I'm not my brother's keeper." You know, he lies to God, and when God confronts him. And that's the other problem with the old self. To not address them. To continue to walk in them often leads to more than one of them being done, because one leads to another and to another and to another. And some are the result of one of the other things being done. And for us, by not dealing properly with these things, we are also giving the devil something to work with within us. And it can result in something that is not good for us and resulting in us going down a path with the devil, and it takes us further and further away from God. And what God can also and this can also have an impact on other people, depending on what we let God do with us or we let the devil do with us. Ephesians verse 28, chapter 4. And he who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need. Now, with stealing is to take away from another in a wrongful way. And there are many ways that we can steal from one another. And you can take from someone and not commit a crime. You know, for example, you know, I can take away from someone's experience by my behavior. Okay? Now we're having a fellowship today after the service is over. You know, and so, you know, let's say we're having our fellowship and I decide to make a scene and my scene takes away the joy of the moment. Have I committed a crime in the eyes of the law? No. But have I stolen from everybody in the room? Yes. But here again, it's really about what's going on in our hearts that leads to the stealing. You know, am I stealing because I'm angry? You know, is it that I have let something so consume me that I must have it by violating the rights of another? You know, are these the heart conditions of a new person in Christ? But here's the other thing with this. It's like, okay, if I have let something so consume me, then I have made that thing an idol because I'm supposed to be consumed by Christ. This verse then says, he says, if you want to, go earn the money for it. But then he says, so that he will have to share with one who has need. See, the person who steals, as I just said a minute ago, he's someone who is consumed with self. He's maybe consumed with something that he wants to acquire, but behind that, really, he's consumed with himself. I want that for me. I must have that for me to feel happy or satisfied or whatever. You know, so the person is consumed with self, really. So much so that he's willing to take away from another. And here Paul says, you know, go earn what you need, but then he says to share. You know, in other words, get out of yourself. Okay, and that's the problem, you know, with stealing. People are too consumed with self. Get out of yourself and think of someone else. You know, don't take, but give. And here again, this is a good witness, and it's loving others and sharing with others, and it's a good example of a heart condition of a new person in Christ. Verse 29 of Ephesians 4. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Now, the word unwholesome here is the word corrupt, and it means rotten or decayed. It kind of talks about food again here. We're talking about food again. Of course, it's a potluck today, so you know. But it's talking about food that is spoiled or rotten, or stones that have crumbled. You know, stones that have crumbled are not good for using in any kind of construction. In other words, these are things that are no good. And so this would include words coming out of one's mouth that are foul, dirty, obscene, polluted, filthy, detestable, profane, dishonorable, and offensive. This would be words or jokes or comments that are off color. Again, that are dirty. You know. And there's a range here, you know, from what's immoral all the way to, say, propositioning somebody for sex. Our words are to encourage. Our words are to build up. They should be words that are needed for the moment that will give grace and bless and comfort and help the ones who hear them. Now, I would also add to this list of negative words, I would add speaking curses over another person. And again, you know, this is something where people do these all the time. I mean, my mom just went to the doctor. My mom has Parkinson's. And my mom's doctor for Parkinson's is not a believer. So again, his diagnosis over her is just the diagnosis of an unbeliever. As you get older, you're going to get worse and worse and worse. And he just painted this horrible, grim picture of what she can look forward to for the rest of her days. And I heard that, and something rose up in me and went, oh, no, we're not settling for that, Mom. And I prayed over her and broke those words off and prayed for her healing and all that, and she felt better after that. You know, and so, but again, this is an example of, you know, again, you know, of the power of words. You know, and although there are times where, you know, and another one is complaining. Now, there are times when complaints are needed to voice something where there needs to be an improvement, you know, and I would put, but when I talk about that, I would say, you know, where it goes bad is where you have people that are just constantly complaining and that's all that they do, you know, but there are times where people need to vent and there are times when people need to talk about something, in other words, to process it, but these are people that are speaking for the purpose of improving. A person's heart that may be filled with pain or hurt or anger or frustration or hopelessness that have been, you know, that have been healed when they talk about those things, or they feel better when they talk about those things and they get those things out in talking about them, you know, and then, you know, as they talk about things, you know, things kind of come to light and things can get addressed and healing can happen. Okay, that's okay, but if it's just talking about them, you know, just to talk about them and it has no purpose other than I just want to complain, that's all I want to do, you know, that's there's no purpose in that. You know, the other ones do have a purpose, but that doesn't. But the other thing about it is for those that just speak with no good purpose, they're not doing other people any good either. And here again, you know, our words are also our witness. You know, Luke chapter 6, verse 45 says, the good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good, and the evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. So the bottom line is this, is what comes out of your mouth is a result of what's in your heart. You know, if the heart is right, the words will change. So if you want to change your words, change your heart. Verse 30 of Ephesians 4. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So Paul then encourages those he's writing to not grieve the Holy Spirit who lives inside of them. Now, grieve here means to cause pain or distress or even to hurt. The Holy Spirit is a person that is a living entity that is living inside of all believers. And so when we do these things that we've been talking about that Paul encourages us not to do, those things that we're encouraged not to pick up and put on that we shouldn't have on, you know, and therefore to take a step backwards from the new person that we're supposed to be, you know, in what we do, that a new person in Christ shouldn't do, it hurts the Holy Spirit inside of us. Because we're not acting like who we really are. We're being what we're really not. And it hurts him. It hurts him because he hurts for us. Because we're not walking in our freedom and our transformation as a believer. And then there's the witness and our impact on the body of Christ that we're a part of. And how does our doing what we're doing impact the body? And the Spirit hurts over that. You know, every believer knows what I'm talking about here. Okay? You know, We all know when this has happened. Because you feel that thing inside of you when you say something or do something that you shouldn't do, or you're starting to go down that path. You know, there's that feeling inside of us that says, you shouldn't be doing this. You know, or it's a thought that pops in our heads that says the same thing. You know, and that's the Spirit of God inside of us that is speaking to us. And this is that same Holy Spirit that is the proof of who you are in Christ. And that proof is saying, hey, you should not be doing this. You should not be saying this. This isn't right. Stop. Turn. Go in the other direction. Now, the danger is when we don't listen. The danger is when we ignore that voice and we ignore that feeling. You know, God will continue to speak to you. Okay, if you ignore that, God will still continue to speak to you. But the problem is that we get used to ignoring it. It's still there, but we get used to not listening. And so even though he's still speaking, we don't hear him. And therefore, we can drift further and further down a path that we should not be going down, especially since we're God's people. Now, Paul concludes chapter 4 with verses 31 and 32, which says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you." So in these two verses, there are two lists here. Now, one list talks about bitterness and anger and wrath. And wrath is extreme anger. And these are the results of hanging on to the anger and not letting it go, but instead letting it grow inside of you and letting it fester inside of a person. And this is what led Cain to kill his own brother. Clamor means arguing, making a fuss about something. It's quarreling, fighting, and you know, this and slander. You know, slander is hurtful speech toward another that hurts the heart of a person or hurts their reputation, you know, and how they're seen in the eyes of other people. And these are verbal expressions of hurt and anger. And here Paul says, put it away. This should not be the expression of a believer. And if they are, they are the result of something inside that person that needs to be addressed and has been allowed to go unchecked for far too long to get to this point. These things are the proof and the result of that. Now, the things in the other list are being kind, tender-hearted, forgiving. You know, these are the opposite expressions of the other ones, of these two lists. You know, and are the response of love. And love is what should be reigning in the heart of a believer. And are the expression of what Jesus demonstrated toward us and did for us with his dying. And we should model him with the people around us. We as believers have been born again. And Jesus is renewing us from the old person to the new person. Salvation regenerated us from who we were to who we are now. The new person that we are was instantly changed by Christ when we invited him into our hearts at the point of salvation. And he is working in us in the other areas to catch us up to that instantaneous event. And he will if we cooperate with him. But the choice is ours. Now, with keeping in mind everything that I've said so far, one of the things that I believe that God is doing right now in the world is that he is ratcheting things up. Okay? The word ratcheting means it's causing something to rise or fall as a step in a steady and irreversible process. Yeah, it's one of those words that has more than one definition to it, and I like this definition. So there's a process going on, and we have been in a process here in this church. We have been in a process for years, and I believe it's part of a process that actually for us began before a prophetic word that we got back in 2020. At the beginning of 2020, we got a prophetic word. And Shandy gave it at his Sunday night meetings. And it was that God was going to be clearing away in 2020. He was going to be exposing, revealing, establishing. And we have also seen with this people being moved around too. You know? And so I'm a feeler. You know, we've talked about feelings before, and I'm a feeler. And I have been feeling, especially of late, strong feelings. I mean really strong feelings that something's not right. I mean everything for the last couple of weeks has felt wrong. And I've been trying to figure this out, and I've been praying and I've been trying to figure this out. I know now why. God has been ratcheting his process up. The pressure has been steadily growing over the last 3 years, if not more. He's been ratcheting it up through COVID, through masks, vaccines, the shutdown, the impact on the church, the impact on businesses, through what's going on in our world politically, economically, morally. There has been no let up. Have you noticed this? It's been one thing after another. There has been no stop. It just goes up and up and up, or it ratchets up and up and up. It's constant. The riots, the violence that we're seeing. And this has all been going on, and it has impacted people personally, in their private lives, in their homes, in their families, and there's fear, and there's frustration, and there's anger, and there's despair, and there's great concern. And it's been going on and on and on. And you know what? It is still going on. In fact, we're looking at it going, when is it going to stop? We look out there and we go, I don't see when this is going to stop. And what does that do? It crushes our hope. It makes it hard on us. Now, what also doesn't help this is also the media is fueling into this with their spin on it, right? You know, what I see now is that people are beginning to crack. Okay? People are ready to pop. I am seeing more and more people just losing it in stores. You go in a store, one little thing, someone goes off, makes a scene in the store. I'm seeing more and more of that. Yeah, and the behind, yeah, people are driving crazier and crazier. Yeah, you're seeing it in all these different things. People are cracking. They're beginning to pop. They've had enough, and they're and they have no control over this. And they don't like it. I mean, I look at us, okay? Now, on a positive note with us, okay, one of the things that COVID did with the church is it leveled the playing field, okay? You still have some big churches out there, but so many of the churches now are running between 20 to 30 people. Now, we are right in there, okay? We're running 30 or close to 30 every week. You know, so we're right in there. Our finances, you know, they're not the best, but you know what? We're staying afloat. And God has been good about bringing monies in when we need them, when an expense arises, something we didn't foresee, or something happens. You know, but, you know, I think that's a lesson in faith. You know, but it's a hard lesson sometimes because, you know, we all like financial security, right? Yeah. But the thing about it is financial security doesn't build faith. What builds faith is dependence. It's dependence on God. And that's hard. Okay? So, you know, in our worship time, we're feeling his presence, you know, and we're praying for one another, and people are prophesying, and it's wonderful. You know, and I look over the congregation, and I see that almost everyone here is involved in one if not more ministries, and that is fantastic. That is absolutely incredible. So many people have stepped into new roles over the last couple of years. Some people and some things have gone away from us, or old things are still happening, but those old things are different now than they were before. And all of this is stretching us. And I see people growing in the new things, and I see people growing in the roles that they're in now, and there are reactions sometimes, but you know, that's all normal, and that's to be expected in a growth process, you know, because growth is not always neat and pretty, and people make mistakes, and things don't always go perfectly, but that's part of growth, and that's part of maturing. But this growth process creates a tension as people are pushed and stretched as they grow. But also right now, with the pressure that we have all been experiencing from everything that I mentioned, both in here and out there, you know, with what's going on, there's also what's going on with people personally. Health concerns. I know a number of you have health concerns that you're dealing with. That adds to this. You know, and then there are the issues that each of you personally have, the situations that you're dealing with or struggling with, you know, and then you have whatever new things pop up, right? Because things do pop up, you know, or things you're just dealing with day in and day out, you know, those old things that have been there, but all these things all together, they're all going on. And they're all mixed together. What's out there? What's going on in your cells? What's going on here? It's all mixed together. And the impact is wearing on everybody. And the tension is rising. And as it's rising, it's resulting in, it's manifesting in people everywhere. Again, as I mentioned a minute ago, you know, people, you know, losing it in a line in a store. You know, it's going on everywhere, or the driving. It's because God is taking the ratcheting to the next level. He's taking it to the next level to expose, to reveal, and to clear away. And here's the thing. You can't clear some things away until they're revealed or exposed. And as the increase in pressure continues, things surface that did not surface before. You know, now those things may have always been there, but some things only come out under greater pressure. And some are cracking under the pressure now, and some are not. But those that are not cracking under the pressure, the issues are starting to seep out of them. They're starting to leak out of them, ooze out of them, or surface. And they may not see it, but the other people around them do. And again, this too adds to the tension. And all of this is to expose, to be cleared away. So we and God can build and establish on a good foundation. And God is using all these things that I've mentioned to get us in order for what is coming. I mean, he's doing it with everybody, including me. Okay? For example, you know, I mean, there is the effects of all the changes that happened in the church over the last several years. Okay? I've got, you know, moving onto the property. And then I had this experience that happened to me, you know, last month with this traumatic event that happened to me. You know, I've got, and then I'm trying to continue on as I do, dealing with all of that at the same time. You know, with all the dealings and the responsibilities that I have to go with what I do. You know, and this creates a pressure and a tension in me. So no one is excused from this. You know, not even the paid holy guy, you know. We're all going through this, you know. Feelings are rising in people and every you know, in people everywhere. From the things that I'm saying, and as this happens, it's easy for people to react to one another. And what I see surfacing right now is that everyone is going through this. Everyone. And this plus the frustrations with the things that have been going on over the last several years, both of these things all mixed together, and it's continually impacting people, and it's rising more and more and more. As issues are surfacing because of the tension, and with it, how people respond and feel towards one another. Now, I say all of this because of this verse that I'm going to read you right now. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. I see people, see, with all of this, it causes us to focus on self. What's going to happen to me? You know, it causes us to focus on us in a lot of ways. You know, I want this. I want that. I can't have this. I can't have that. But I want it. And some are focusing on others. I don't like this. I don't like them. I don't like that. We are so focused on this. And I feel because of the pressure that everyone is feeling and that we're reacting to one another. And in this, we're losing sight of this verse that I just read. The enemy is attacking. And it's being allowed, though. And it's being allowed to expose. And so we're so focused on us and others that we're not looking at God and we're not looking to God. You know, the Bible study class, we finished the book of Job. You know, one of the things that Job showed us is that God can be working and moving as the devil is working and moving. You know, and I tell you, I witnessed this, and this thing that happened to me a month ago, I witnessed that same thing. You know, God allowed Satan to touch Job. He allowed God to touch his wealth. He allowed, God allowed Satan to touch Job's wealth and his health. But it was to do a work in him and his friends and everybody that witnessed their interactions, their dialogues. He was working on everybody with that. And it resulted in a book of the Bible that has been speaking to people for centuries. Now, I say this because as the pressure mounts, that we look in the right direction. That we look at God and what he's doing in us each individually. And that we be honest with ourselves. And that we be open. And that we be teachable. And that we be willing to surrender to our Lord of what he wants. So we can come out of this time the way he wants us to. And as we do internally, we will as a house because we make up the house. See, the reality is it's really not about COVID and masks and vaccines and politics and the economy and our neighbors. It's really not about that. All these things are tools that God is using to get to our hearts. That's what this is really about. It's about God getting to our hearts. Now, I say all this today because this is going on everywhere. Now, if you don't see it, you will. Because it's going to keep amping up. And for those of you that say, yeah, you know, what you say is true, you know, it's not about agreeing with me. It's what are we all going to do? You know, God is so incredibly active in these days with all that's happening. Right now, we are experiencing the greatest expression of the love of God, which is being demonstrated in a work with everyone across the globe at the same time. We have not seen this before. I mean, God has not moved like this since the flood. And we get to be in on it. Now, some people may go, oh, great. But we get to be in on what God is doing. You know, we have all been created for an historic time such as this. I mean, it's no accident that you're here. I'm not talking about just in this building right now. I'm talking about on this planet right now. God is an intentional God. You're supposed to be here right now. You have been created to be part of an historic event that we have not seen for a long time. But it's also an historic time to let God do a work in you before he does a work with you. Which is what I think this is all about. I think that God is preparing a move, and he's getting us all ready. He's preparing us. He's breaking us down. He's getting us to shed off more of that old person that we're still wearing so we can put more of that new person on. You know, some things can't come on until some things come off. Because one hinders another. And he's bringing some to a point of surrender. He's bringing some to a point of letting go, to release what they've been hanging on to, because some people are so intensely hanging on to something. You know, the shaking is getting more and more violent. But the more violent the shaking, the more will come off. And some things can only come off with the most violent of shaking because of the death grip that some people have on things. Now, going back to me for a second, you know, the events of the past few weeks, they have changed me. They have changed me. Now, some of it is just a reaction to what's happened, and some of it will fade away over time, but some of it, I don't think it's ever going to go away. But what it's doing is that I am seeing it opening doors to ministry that have been all around me the whole time, and I never saw it. But I see it now. It's also caused me to pursue God more intensely. I mean, I've been pursuing God for a long time, but not like I am right now. And it's the stuff I've been wrestling with that has caused me to pursue Him more, to engage His presence more. I mean, I have knowledge about God, I have understanding about God, but there are times when knowledge and understanding are not enough. Sometimes we just need to come into the healing presence of Jesus. And we need to just sit there, and we need to just rest in that. Minute by minute, hour by hour. And I'm desperate. I am desperate. I am tired of what I've been wrestling with, and so I am engaging Him every chance I can get. Because I want to be free. And it's helping. It is I feel a difference. But it's a slow process. You know, I've been the way I describe it to some people is like plucking one hair at a time. I got this little patch started, you know, but there's a much greater area. I want it to go faster, but God's controlling the speed of this. Because sometimes some things are a process. And I'm wrestling with these new aspects of me from a hard process. That God was all over. I mean, when this thing happened to me, you know, I'm sitting there having this thing happen and I'm asking the question of God, where are you? Because things weren't going like I wanted them to go. But when I stepped back and looked at it after it was over, I saw that God was all over it in so many different ways. And I realized, oh, this wasn't this. This is God doing something. I don't, you know, and all I know is I know that it's all headed somewhere. But the question I want to leave you with is this. What about you? Where are you right now? Okay? Do you understand all of the struggles that you have? Are you reacting to everyone and everything around you? And do you see that? And do you realize that that's not the real battle? The real battle is in our hearts. Do you see what God is doing in you and with you right now? See, He's up to something. He's up to something. You look at it all, that's the only reasonable explanation. God is up to something. And it's big to do it on this level. It's big. And you are here for a time such as that. So that thing that is out there in the near future, it's right in front of us. And it's coming at us. And God is trying to get us ready for it. So what about you? What are you going to do with the process that you're in? Because we're all in it. Every one of us are in it. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that as we just sit here in Your presence for a minute, I pray that You would just open our minds, open our hearts to seeing what we need to see about us, ourselves, not our neighbor, not the things in our world, but us, our own individual heart and our own individual mind. Where are we? And where are you in the process that we are in? Meaning you as an individual. God, show us what we need to see about ourselves. Again, I just come against any condemning thoughts of the enemy. Lord, I pray that your voice would just crash through all of that negative talk. In your name, Lord Jesus, I command all that negative talk to stop. And I pray that we would just hear your loving voice that says, I love you, and this is what I'm doing with you right now. Just let him come. Just sit with that. And as he speaks to you, the question you need to ask is, Jesus, what do you want me to do with that? And it's just do what he tells you. If you don't, things will continue to ratchet up. He is so serious right now. He's always been serious, but he's really serious right now in what he's doing with us, what he's doing with the world. Let him have his way with you all the way. For the future that he's bringing, that you're supposed to be a part of. Father, I thank you for the work that you're doing. I thank you for the work that you've been doing. Lord, it's my prayer that you would just have your way, that you would do whatever you want to do to the full extent that you want to do it. Come have your way. And Lord, help us to see and understand what you're doing so that we can follow you, so that we can understand, and we can help others to know and understand. So that they can follow. But come have your way. Thank you, God, that we have been born for a time such as this. Thank you that we have the privilege to be in what you're doing right now. And thank you, Lord, for this scope that you're doing this on. Because it's a tremendous expression of your love. It's not, I came to end it all, and I'm going to wipe everything out. It's, we got more to do, and we're all a part of that. We're included in that work that you're doing, the new thing. I mean, we talk about this being the new normal, but there's a new thing coming, and we get to be a part of it. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing and all that you're going to do. And we just give you glory, and we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.